This is Fresh Air. Arthur Conley was Otis Redding's protege, his special project, and had a number of hits before mysteriously disappearing. Our rock historian Ed Ward has uncovered what he can about Conley's story.
Do you like good music?
People remember Arthur Conley today. It's for his first hit, produced by Otis Redding, and all over the jukeboxes early in 1967 and forever after. His career had actually started in McIntosh, Georgia, near Atlanta, where he was born in 1946. His singing was legendary in his church, which is how he wound up in an otherwise all-girl gospel group, the Evening Smiles, before his voice changed. From there, he joined the Corvettes, a secular Atlanta vocal group that made a couple of records, one of which almost took off. Wanting to reunite with his father, Conley moved to Baltimore, where he joined Harold Holt's band. Holt's manager recorded them in 1965 and allowed Arthur to sing two tunes at the session. Just as Holt's record with Arthur's vocal came off the presses, Otis Redding came to town, and Holt's manager gave him a copy. Redding managed to listen past the ham-fisted production and liked the young singer. He was making plans to start his own label, Jodas, and decided Arthur Conley would be his first signing. He arranged to have him cut a couple of tunes at Stax, which prompted a lawsuit from Harold Holt's manager. Otis decided it was time to manage Conley himself and met him for the first time early in 1967. A couple of weeks later, they were in the Fame Studios in Alabama, updated a Sam Cooke classic called Yeah Man, and Sweet Soul Music was born. The song, on Atlantic Records' Atco subsidiary, quickly rose to number 2 on both the pop and soul charts. The follow-up, a misguided remake of Big Joe Turner's Shake, Rattle, and Roll, didn't do as well. Then, at the end of 1967, Otis Redding was killed in a plane crash in Wisconsin, and Arthur lost his producer, mentor, and guide. He had a couple of Redding's productions in the can, including one he'd written.
I'll let nothing separate us, darling. I'll let nothing, no. What you ask me to do, I say, honey, you know that it's okay, and I'll let nothing, darling, separate us.
His next producer was Atlantic Records legendary Tom Dowd, but Arthur claimed he didn't communicate well with him. Maybe not, but one of the records they did directly inspired the Temptations' Psychedelic Shack. From here, Arthur Conley's story gets odd. He was working with Otis Redding's former manager, Phil Walden, who tried to update his sound by putting him in Fame Studios with their new guitarist, Duane Allman, whom Conley hated. The version of Obladi Oblada they cut does nobody any credit. Then, he worked with songwriter-producer Jerry Williams Jr., better known as Swamp Dog, and felt that the material he was asked to cut was immoral. In the mid-70s, Conley abruptly moved to London. That proved expensive, so the next stop was Brussels, which he found too hectic. He then headed to Amsterdam and changed his name to Lee Roberts. Nobody knew Lee Roberts, and at last Conley was able to live at peace with a secret he'd hidden, or thought he had, for his entire career. He was gay. But nobody in Holland cared. He missed performing, so he got a Dutch band together and cut some records. In England, soul record collectors heard them and thought Lee Roberts sounded an awful lot like Arthur Conley. He did a brief interview with a couple of them in 1999 and admitted the truth, then went silent. He moved to a tiny village near the German border, toured a little, and died at home in 2008.
Rock historian Ed Ward lives in Austin.